This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the evening with Lynn and Kelvin. And first up on Popek, we're continuing a conversation that was begun, I think, earlier on in the afternoon by our friends over at the Daily Digest, where they spoke about dealing with fear and panic during an outbreak. Mm-hmm. And this is coming in part because, well, I mean, have you seen the headlines?
Have you seen the photos, actually?
Yeah, the photos, the videos that are coming out of our neighbours, Singapore, but also in Hong Kong, about panic buying. Yep. And this is, of course, a reaction to developments and news surrounding the novel coronavirus. So over the weekend, residents in Singapore rushed into supermarkets to clear out shelves of rice, noodles, toilet paper. The panic buying and hoarding is, of course, linked to the country raising its pandemic preparedness alert level for the coronavirus outbreak from yellow to orange.
Yep, so the orange alert indicates that the nature of disease is severe and spreads easily from person to person, but it's being contained in the city-state where it hasn't spread widely. So the same alert level was used during the 2003 SARS outbreak and the 2009 H1N1 influenza.
So the panic buying has understandably led to some stores putting a purchase limit on high demand items. An online grocery store sold out of most of its toilet paper, and scalpers were also found reselling items at marked up prices on Carousell. In the meantime, of course, Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong has asked people to remain calm. He's actually issued a full statement, right? Saying that the country has ample food and supplies. He also described the outbreak as a test of social cohesion and psychological resilience.
And I think there's also another minister that in Singapore that's also come out to say some very interesting things. That would be Trade and Industry Minister Chan Chun Sing, where he said, "We have about 10 million toilet rolls, but we only have 5 million Singaporeans and residents here. So we have more than enough." So the focus on toilet rolls has been one point of contention. But I guess it's also worried that it might signal that the panic buying might sort of be undermining Singapore's reputation for being a slightly calmer country in the international community.
Not just calmer, but the idea that you would hold together, right? You're not going to hoard items. You are going to respect the fact that other people might need toilet rolls. It's not, you know, every man for himself.
Yeah.
Because that's, I think, what panic buying seems to symbolize, right? It's like, I have to take care of my own. And you know what? You snooze, you lose. Like, if you didn't make it out to the supermarkets, then too bad for you. And it's a pity to see it happening simply because it's somewhat unwarranted. I mean, I understand people running out of face masks.
Yeah.
I understand people running out of hand sanitizers, disinfectant, things like that, because one of the main things that we're all being told to do is to keep our hands clean, to ensure that we are disinfecting surfaces and things like that. But we are not being told to stock up on toilet paper.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like they're also stocking up on food. They're also stocking up on fresh produce. So they're hoping, I think, and they're getting ready for a possible shutdown of borders, of stores. So it seems like it's not something that's happening, but the anxiety, the risk perception doesn't seem to be matching up with what the government is saying.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that they were talking about was because Singapore is, of course, import reliant, right?
Yeah.
So there is this worry that I guess there is a sense of food insecurity or essentials insecurity, which is a very odd thing, again, for a wealthy country.
Yep.
For a wealthy country with a pandemic update.
Pandemic, no. I think it
alert.
Was
yeah,
alert
pandemic
level.
Alert yeah. level that has been used in the past. So it's, again, it's not as if we are at levels that have heretofore never been seen, right? So I have family in both Singapore and Hong Kong.
Right.
And so over the weekend, they were both updating the family chat group. You know, each side was asking the other, like, hey, is it as bad as the news reports say? And from what it sounds like, at least for my family in Singapore at that point in time, they said it's not so bad still. When you go out, you can still find items. However, in Hong Kong, the three main things that they said they were running out of were rice, masks, and alcohol.
Alcohol?
Alcohol, yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe people are just prepared to like stay in and I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just reporting what I was told.
The silver lining there seems it's to make your own hand sanitizer should it sort of run out.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, Owen says we stocked up on wine. So apparently the alcohol thing might not just be a Hong Kong family issue.
Well, my friend who just... I caught up with a friend who was just traveling from Hong Kong, and he found that there were very, very long lines in pharmacies and supermarkets and shopping centers, all really with the purpose of buying toilet rolls. And they've also sort of they've also taken to buy a lot of rice and pasta just in case the food supplies run out. And of course, I think hand sanitizers have also been kind of missing from shelves.
Yeah. So basically, we are talking today about the about not necessarily the psychology of panic buying, because that was something that was covered this afternoon. If you would like to catch that, you can look that up on the Daily Digest, dealing with fear and panic during an outbreak. For us, I think it's more about what Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong said about social cohesion, about what can happen and the kind of atmosphere that can be created when people panic buy, you know, when people behave like this. We'd also like to hear from you. I mean, have you ever, maybe not panic bought, but have you ever stocked up because you heard that there was going to be a shortage, or do you foresee yourself doing this? Call us and let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
And of course, this being Pop-Ed, we wanted to hear from the public. So we asked them if they've ever stocked up on goods for any occasion. And this is what they said.
No, I have not.
Yes, normally during like road trips and stuff.
No, I haven't.
When I was younger, I used to live in Bangkok, and we were living there around the time that the military coup happened. So we had to stock up on quite a lot of supplies.
And we also asked them what were their top three items to stock up on during an emergency.
First aid kit, plasters, essential oils and stuff. Food, drinks.
Food and water. And medical stuff.
Instant noodles, because it's fast. Probably grains, some kind of fruit.
Water is number one. Toilet paper, to be honest. You need that, hygiene. And also canned food is a massive thing as well.
Lastly, we asked them how they felt about shelves being emptied out due to the coronavirus outbreak.
I understand people are being extra cautious about it, but maybe they're taking it a bit too extreme, to the point where the shelves are all being emptied out. They're just really terrified there.
They're afraid that they may not go to the public places that much, so they just want to avoid going to those places, so that's why they stock up those things, just to avoid going out.
I don't know, I guess it's a bit paranoia going on. What are they buying? Like masks, I suppose. Okay, masks make sense. But like if it's hand sanitizers and stuff, and you're just going to stay at home all day, I feel like you should just get what you need.
I don't think it's necessary right now, especially in Singapore and Hong Kong, which are not nearly as affected as actually Thailand, for example. So I think they're just being a bit silly.
So we're talking today about panic buying in light of the fact that there were news headlines, there were photos, there were videos coming out of Singapore over the weekend of people basically clearing shelves of not just what you'd expect, like masks and hand sanitizers, but then also food, also toilet roll, which there would appear to be very little correlation on that. But anyways, so we're talking about the act of panic buying and what Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong said, which is that this whole situation is a test of social cohesion, right? Of not stockpiling and turning it into every man
for
himself.
Yeah.
So we'd like to hear from you. Do you foresee this happening here, for that matter? You know, have you ever stockpiled anything? What would that be? Or what were just your general impressions of this headline from our neighbours? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line with us is Umar Ramaswamy from the Consumers Association of Penang. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. So what are your thoughts on the panic buying situation in Singapore and Hong Kong?
I think that happened when China had a lockdown on Wuhan and Hubei and all that. So they found that people were supposed to stay indoors and not go out at all. And that was just the precursor of the whole problem. It just started. So to make sure that it doesn't spread as fast, they had a lockdown. So people were not prepared then. And as soon as the doors were open, they quickly went and bought stuff and all this. Probably is the same situation we had during the May 13 curfew, where when they give a day or two free for people to go out and buy essentials, people are rushing out to buy things. So what has happened in this case is because people were not prepared at that time. And we found that it led to panic buying.
What can the government do to control the situation in such instances?
The government can actually control this, have some sort of control over the situation by giving announcement over the social media plus the television, the radio stations and all that, informing people what the situation is and encouraging them not to worry or not to panic because the situation is under control and they've taken enough good measures to ensure that the people are safeguarded. And what they can also do is they can make sure that, you know, because you see a lot of places now, especially in towns and cities, we are really concentrated on hypermarkets and supermarkets. So there may be, there can be more smaller shops like, you know, this corporacy shops and all that open up, selling essentials to people so that there will be no panic buying in just, you know, like supermarkets all flooded with people and shelves are all empty. So it's better to have little sundry shops coming up and encouraging pasatanis and all that to be, you know, there so that people can actually have supplies available when they want to. And we find that most of the time people start buying this, you know, tin products and that sort of food items. If the situation comes when there's panic buying, which I hope not, I think people, the supermarkets and all should control the number of items sold to each person. Everybody gets a share and not to be concentrated on just, you know, a few people who can afford. Because I'm very, very sure many people may not have the money, may not have the cash to be able to go and buy supplies.
Mm. And would you say that we've seen a similar scale of panic buying in Malaysia in the past?
Not really. Not that I can remember how many, after how many years I mean, we've been living here. I've seen, maybe before the elections and that sort of thing and the results were being announced, people were running shops to buy things because they're uncertain about the government takeover or who's going to rule the government or something like that. But those are very small. They were not, it was not wide. There was a little bit of all that, a panic buying, but it wasn't wide. And during the SARS time also, we found that people were already buying things, but it wasn't a big scale as it is now. And I mean, if you really go to many places now, but from my observation, I've noticed that a lot of people, business has slowed down, and you find a lot of places where people gather has also reduced. So there's no panic buying as yet. And I hope there's not, because I don't think there is a necessity or need for people to start panicking. And the government's assurance is very important that they inform us every day, every hour about the situation in the country. And what the Prime Minister of Singapore did, coming out with a very good explanation to his people and assurance to his people, I think that's how assurances should be given to the people of Malaysia too, by our leaders.
Why do you think we've not seen panic buying on a large scale in Malaysia?
You see, it depends on the population. Like here, I think so far we've got 17 cases. And quite a few have been actually foreigners and not the locals. So you find that even in Singapore, they were foreign and now they're more locals in Singapore. As I said, it's a very concentrated area. It's a very small island with what? How many million people? In Malaysia, it's different. It's very wide. Our population has been widespread. The 31 million that we're having is in different states. So you don't see as much as you see in places like Singapore, where it's just concentrated in one state.
So you've talked about the importance of the government in terms of communication, but can you talk to us a little bit about how they can actually ensure that supplies are fairly spread out and available, especially to more vulnerable groups? Is this something that could be enforceable?
Yeah, enforcement is very important. I mean, like for example, if you find people hoarding to make more prices, more profits, and to gain more from the people at a time like this, they should be severely punished. They should be closed down. If there's any report or any case where people stocks have been refused or people have been refused any item when they know that these shops are keeping them, then they should take immediate action against these traders. As far as they're concerned, I think we're all human beings and everyone will be concerned about each other and do not exploit each other, especially do not exploit our brothers and sisters at this time when there's such a situation in this country. And they need to be more cooperation. Don't think of profits, short profits in the short time. think of the long term, because if you are going, if the Chinese are going to take advantage of consumers, then there may be a boycott of these traders by consumers when they know in the end that you have actually shortchanged them. So it's very, very important that you see the mask and all that they had. All of a sudden, they were very short of masks, but the production increased. So we have a good stockpile of sugar. We've got a good stockpile of rice and all that in this country. I don't think we should really worry so much now. And I say each and everyone has to play their part in this. Share. Do not be selfish. And even every trader, every consumer, retailer, and everyone has to play a role in keeping the country safe.
And what laws are there against scalpers, those individuals who hoard items and then sell them at higher prices? Does this come under laws for hoarding?
If you hold your... that means it's hoarding, yes. Malaysia has got good laws on hoarding. It's the enforcement that is very, very important. That's why I say if any consumer knows of any person who's hoarding, please inform the Ministry of Domestic Trade. Please alert them immediately, but of course not with any false news, but with authentic news to, information, so that action can be taken on these people. And it's also profiteering. If you find that you're after a while, you come up with these items and you sell it at a higher price, they can be charged under Anti-Profiteering Act.
And what would be your advice for Malaysian consumers in terms of deciding what to do in what to do next in the outbreak?
Well, it's very difficult to say at this time because there seems to be a case in Malaysia almost every day now. What I'm stressing very much is take precautions, follow what the Ministry of Health has been advising. There's been a lot of information given on how you can actually avoid this and how you can actually take measures. And you've known of any cases, and if you know of yourself and if you know that you're not feeling too good and you have any symptoms, do not wait. Get treatment immediately. I think they've equipped all our hospitals very well in this country. And you find that there's about 14 hospitals now have been set up with good backup systems and treatment and all that. So we should actually congratulate the government for taking such a move, commend them, and that we really need the support, and we also need the help of the people themselves to help everyone involved in fighting this at this moment.
Uma, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Uma Ramaswamy, who is from the Consumers Association of Penang. So we've been asking you for your thoughts and impressions surrounding the panic buying that we've been seeing, particularly in Singapore, but also in Hong Kong. So you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a question actually from Roberto on Twitter, who wants to know, out of simple and plain curiosity, nothing else, how old were you guys when SARS hit the region? You know, you don't have to be exact, but around what age group?
I was probably in primary school at that time, and I think that's as much as my memory was of it. I still went to school, everything was very much normal, and in terms of how my parents and how the adults around me reacted, with some concern, but not with as much concern as I think I see right now.
So I was in high school and I remember seeing the news. And like I said earlier, because I do have family in Hong Kong, we were very keenly aware of it and how deadly it seemed and felt at the time. It was also the first time I had any awareness of the idea or notion of a pandemic, you know, that we were waiting for any such thing or that there was anything outside or beyond an epidemic. So yeah, SARS was really the first time, I think, that something like this hit so close to home, which is why the comparisons, aside from the regional comparison, I think that's why they continue to come that way. So we have some messages. Firstly, Mohan saying, Singaporeans equal kiasu. I was waiting for somebody to say that. I didn't want to be the first, but I was waiting.
This was the common thing I heard over the weekend when people were talking about the photos that they saw on their WhatsApps and all that. So they were like, oh, of course it would be Singapore that would be behaving like this because they're all kiasu.
Yeah, but I think in all fairness, I mean, there is a percentage of that I'm sure is true. But there is also the fact that, like I said, they're very import reliant. It's not as if they have farms, you know, on what limited land they have, you know, planting things, feeding themselves. So I get it. I understand the worry that as things grind to a halt elsewhere, you're worried that you're going to be affected this way. It's not a worry that is super based in fact, but I think when your concern, your main concern is keeping safe and keeping your family safe, I get the appeal. It's a, this harms nobody. You know, I might as well stockpile.
Though, you know, though again, going back to Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong's statement about social
cohesion
and psychological resistance, if, let's say, you know, we include the fact of caring for your neighbours and caring for those who might be more vulnerable in society, who might sort of need those things, then perhaps it might not, perhaps it might actually be seen as harming another group of people who might not be able to, say, wash their hands, and that's why they need to use sanitizers.
Arihan says, movies that show survivors of apocalypse getting supplies from abandoned stores is so not true. And yeah, they would be cleared out. You know, if you look at the behavior now, you would see that. Jeff says, Malaysians are equally kiasu, just feel shy to express it openly.
Point taken.
Yeah, no, I think that's very fair. And it's about time somebody said that. We also have a message from JC, which we will get to after the news. But in the meantime, do weigh in. I mean, there were news reports, videos, photos of panic buying going on in Singapore and Hong Kong. What were your impressions of that? And also, would you ever, have you ever kind of stocked up on something because you were worried about a certain situation? Say our water, for example, which I think a lot of people would be no stranger to buying litres of water. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.